Right, session number 16712, Albert Scatchard, Reel 2.
Mr. Scatchard, Reel 2. So you decided with your friend that you weren't going to go back down the pits?
We made up our minds. We'd had enough of it. And I said, I don't know what my family will say, but I'm going to change my jobs or something. I said, but I know one thing. I said, as a mate of mine, I said, he joined the army. I said, and I've had word from him. And he said, it's good. So anyway.
Just before we move on to that, Mr. Scatchard, just to finish off the pit side of your life, did the coal owners look after you as a worker? I'm thinking in terms of injuries and house rents and so forth, and coal, of course, for your home.
Did you? Oh yes. Of course, it was only the ewers that got the coal. You see, the man of the household sort of style, the leader of the household, they got the coals. Yes, aye. And the pay then was 6 and 6 a shift. That's what it was. So if a fellow worked five shifts, he used to take £1.30. He used to take about £1.35 shilling home for a week's work.
And was that a good wage at that time?
Well, for them at that time, because let's face it, food was really cheap then. I mean, a loaf of bread, penny. You used to go to the store and you get bacon and cheeses and things like that. And there was nothing. There was hardly any tin stuff. Even the corned beef, bully beef, as we knew it. It was all come out in one big tin, but it was all sliced. And we should go to the store there. And of course, there was no checkout points like it is now. You used to put your money in where the cashier was, and she used to put it in a little box, and it used to go on a wire right away around the store, and round at the other end. You had to check it there, and then send it back with your change on. And
you got dividend for.
You got the dividend. Well, the women got that, like. They got the benefit of that. That was a good system.
Was there any strikes whilst you were working down the pits?
There were never any strikes there at the time I was there. No. Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, there'd been a big strike just previous to that. I could tell you a little bit about that. No, mind the 1926 strike. Now I was about 10 years old then, and to keep our fires going. What we had to do, we should go along the old cut house pit, and that was a way along Lampton Walk, along by the way there, to the past the gas houses, along to Brecon Hill, and we should come to the old cut house pit there. There used to be old mine workings there, and we should get the duff, the small bits of the duff, you know. We should get bags of that, and what we used to do, bring it all home. And we used to have a job getting it all, because we had little bogies made out of mangle wheels and all sorts. Used to get it all home, and everybody used to sit around at night time. The women used to leave the muttons, because they used to make their own mats them days. And they used to leave all the muttons, and they used to come, and everybody's up their eyes. They used to wet all this stuff and make it into balls and just stand it in front of the fire that we had on there to dry out. And then we should keep the fire going, just putting a ball or two of this stuff on, because there was no coal. Nobody got any coal. And that's the way we kept the heating going. I mean, there was no baths in them days. There was only the tin bath there for the full family. You had to heat the boiler at the side of the fire. You can make broth in one day, and you'd be heating water the next day for a bath. Or you'd be washing clothes in it the next day. But it was used for everything. Bad old days, they call them, like, but there's something good about them and all, like, because the community spirit was a long way stronger than what it is now, 100% more.
A lot safer than it is now in many ways?
Hmm?
Is it a lot safer in many ways then? In your homes?
Oh, no. You felt a long way safer in them days. In them days, anyone in the street, they could leave the doors open. Oh, the good and good neighbours, anybody could walk in, but there wouldn't be a thing took out of that house, because everybody respected each other. And there was none of the violence and the muggings that go on the way things are today. There were no drugs, it wasn't heard of. And if anybody saw anybody from South Africa, or occasionally a Chinaman, well, I'll tell you what was, that news was printed in the advertiser. We should go for miles just to go and see a blackie walking down the street. But no, you're walking miles to avoid them.
So you decided on this morning's walk that you were going to leave the pits.
Yeah.
What happened to you then?
Well, I came home, and as usual, I told him, I said, I want to join the army. Oh, dear me, there was the usual family funeral, like, about it. But anyway, I was determined, and I went over.
Your mother would be reluctant because of your father's death in the army, was she?
Yes, I think so. That was a trouble, like. And
they tried to persuade you not to go.
But I told her, I said, well, it's all peaceful now. I said, and that's it. I said, it's all peaceful. I said, no war on. But
How old were you, Mr. Scatchard, at this time?
I was 19 then. I was 19 years old. I was 19. And anyway, I went over to Elbert, and I saw the recruiting officer there. I did know his name, but I forget in a moment. Anyway, he came and I had a bit talk with him. And he said, look, you come back. He says, on Monday morning. He says, and we'll have things sorted out. So I went back on the Monday morning. And we sat down and talking and that. And he asked, he says, do you want to join the county regiment? He said, Dale, I said, oh, well, I had an uncle in there, and he was killed in the First World War, like. So anyway, I said, I'll join the battalion at Fenham Barracks, the Aranta. He says, So I joined there, and...
What exactly was the process in the recruiting of you signing on, in effect?
Well, you went in there, and he made you swear an oath. You went through all that procedure. You signed your name to the documents that you wish to join up for a time period, 7 years in the colours and 5 years in the reserves. And you put your name to that, and then you put your hand up, and he made you swear, you know, the oath. And he gave you a shilling.
Do you remember the oath?
I'll forget what it was again now. I'll forget all about it. Anyway, he gave us the king's shilling, and he said, you're now a member of the armed forces. He says, you call me sir after this, Sergeant Major. He said, you see one with his three stripes on, he said, that's Sergeant, and give me the old paraphernalia, like, anyway. Anyway, the next morning, I got a warrant to go through Newcastle.
Had you had a medical before this point?
Oh, yes. I got a medical there. Medical was at that place. Uh-huh. And the past one there, like. So, anyway, goes in and gets his warrant. And said goodbye to the family and all that, and gets through to Fenham Barracks. And just marched in, and the first place to go to the guardhouse. And the guard commander, he said the bloke was like it over to the, I forget where it was, there's some office anyway, went there, the company office, and then took details and that, and there was quite a few more, like, beside me there, like, so we're all, I wasn't alone in that sort of style. And we got on talking about what we've been doing and that, you know, where we worked and that, and why we joined. And I got quite a good few blokes there. Well, anyway, they formed us all into a company, into a platoon, rather, and set away with the basic training. And
can we look at your accommodation before we go into the training details? Where were you housed when you got to the barracks?
Well, housed at Fenham Barracks. There was proper facilities, barrack rooms.
And did your particular unit have a name within the...
Yes, each barrack area, there was the squads, there were squads. There was Hood Squad, you know, and then the battle honours, there's Inkerman Squad, and Lewis Squad, like First World War battle honours. They were named after them.
Which one were you in?
Hooge Squad.
Can we look at the accommodation, the barrack room and
the barrack room itself? Yes, they were all. It was about 20 men to a barrack room, and the beds were about 4 foot apart, and you had your own locker, and you had to keep it absolutely spotless. In fact, there used to be an inspection maybe twice a week by the RSM, and then about once every 3 months they used to have the kit inspection, where you had to put your bed up in a special way. You're all trained to do this, of course, and your boots are highly polished, and everything you owned had to be on that bed. Everything that was issued by the army had to be shown on that bed, and it was all ticked off by the quartermaster that you had them, those things. You were in possession.
Did you get your uniform straight away?
You got your uniform about 3 days after you've been in.
What did they give you?
Well, they gave you your boots, and in those days, there wasn't the battle dresses we know it now. You got your set of buttons, which you had to sew on yourself, and your khaki uniform, a pig cap and putties. Oh, they were the bane of your life then, putties.
How did you put them on?
Because putties were what you had to do. You had to fold your trousers round. You had to go like that. Fold your trousers round like that. And then you sit away from the bottom. And you had to have 12 laps from there to just below your knee joint. Then the tape off the end of the putty went round, and then you had to fold it over at this side, so it made like a little square pad there. So there was no edge of the tape shown at all. And each lap had to be about an inch wide. So you had 12 inches from there to below your knee. And I've seen sergeants, you know, who were really regimental, come and pull a tape out and measure them to see if they were right. Aye.
It must have been difficult to get them on correctly.
Oh, was it? Well, you see, you could put them on, if you put them on too slack and you set away marching, they'd drop off. And there you were marching, you put your trail on the floor, and the next man standing on, and you tripped up and all that. And another thing, you put them on too tight, where your legs start to swell up and they're really aching, because you put your putties on too tight. But after a while, you got used to exactly knowing yourself exactly how you wanted them, how to fasten them and everything. Aye.
So boots, putties, what else did they give you?
Well, you got your undergarments, you got your vest, your shorts, socks. It was all in duplicate. It was all in duplicate, the whole lot, everything what you got was in duplicate. Great coat and everything. course, the great coat wasn't any duplicate. He only got the one great coat.
What kind of blouse or top did you have?
It was a proper uniform with the five buttons down the front. And then you had your regimental name on there, DLI, on each shoulder, on the epaulets.
Did they give you anything else other than your khaki?
Your cap badge. You got a forage hat.
Get anything like denims or something to work in?
Yes, later on. Denims wasn't introduced at that time, and must have been about a year after that we first got our first set of denims. I remember that, yeah.
Uh-huh. At what point had you got your rifle then?
We got the rifle, the greasy rifle, and you had 2 hours. They used to give you 2 hours to clean it, and well, you can imagine, I mean, all the barrel, thick of grease and everything, they used to get, and it was a pull, what was known as a pull-through, that was the brass toddle on the end and the string on, and we should put this, what they call 4x2, to flatten that. You should put that on the end and drop the brass funnel through. You should come right through the rifle. You should get all of that and pull it through and pull up all the flannel lead through and clean your rifle that way. And then take all the grease off and highly polish it, you know. And if there was a tiny bit of grease on, oh dear me, oh, this would go mad. You could start all over again. You'd go and pick some grease up and smear it all over again. Sergeant, if he's a button, so you're going to smear it all over again, so you know, start and do it properly this time. Some lads used to go mad with it.
Did you have something to oil the weapon and keep it oiled?
Yes, there was in the boot. In the boot, there was a little catch in there at the bottom of the boot. You used to lift that up, and you had a little oil bottle in there. And it won't be tidy if you didn't have no oil in at all. You should get 3 or 4 days for that straightaway junkers. You used to oil your boat with that, and you used to have to smear it on, you know, just so it's really working correctly. Like,
did you like that rifle? Was it a good one?
Oh, aye. I remember the serial number of it, the butt, because it was a disc on the side of your butt. 233. That's the one I had all the time.
What make was it?
Lee Enfield, 303. Yes, that's what it was.
Was it the short Lee Enfield or the long one?
It was a long one, yeah. Yeah.
So you've got uniform, your rifle, what other equipment were you given?
Well, there was sports equipment for the gym. You got that as well, sand shoes, running gear, and football gear. I mean, the regimental sports headquarters, where you used to go down there and just collect whatever you wanted. If you're going to play football, you got football boots. But cricket, anything like that, you used to get the pads and the bats and all that. It was all, the whole lot was centralised.
I forgot to ask you about your uniform, but Did it fit you when you got your uniform, or was it kind of thrown at you and you had to?
Oh yes, it was pretty reasonable. Of course, you had your regimental tailor. You had a regimental tailor, and you used to take it down there, and they used to measure. They used to put everything right for you. Oh yes,
What webbing and haversacks did you get?
Yes, we got the full equipment, full pack. Webbing, side, carrier, bayonet scabbard, bayonets, and then
And a water bottle, did you get at that time?
Yes, she got a water bottle. It was all in together. Webbing belt.
Was this the webbing, or was it a leather?
Webbing. There was no leather at that time. Only the officers had the leather. They had the Sam Brown belts. We were the only ones that had the webbing.
You mentioned that you had to do your own buttons. Did they give you some implements for doing
repairs? Well, you see, in your army kit, you got what was known as a house. What was the name for them?
Housewife?
Exactly, that's it. You had all the cottons, needles, and whatever you ordered was in there.
What eating implements did you give you? What eating implements did they give you? Things to eat?
Oh, I got the knife, fork, and spoon. Oh, they were all in.
And the little.
You got a little mess in. Exactly.
And all these, you say, had to be put out once every so often for full inspection.
Oh, yes.
And were they laid on the bed in a certain way?
Yes, exactly. Everybody's bed had to be uniform. Exactly to the regimental measures undertook at that time. And God help you if they weren't right.
What happened then?
Your socks. I mean, you had to make a little square box like that. And each sock, you used to wrap around there to make it a perfect square. No crinkles in it at all. And you used to stand side by side like that. And then your shirts folded with the buttons dead down the middle. Your uniform put there. And all your buttons highly polished. Even the back of your buttons. Of course, we've got the button stick. That was the thing that was issued. I mean, couldn't have done without that. Otherwise, you'd have stains of Meppo all over. You had to buy your own Meppo and things like that, mind. They weren't issued. Blanco wasn't issued. You had to buy that at the Naffy. And, we're only getting, I think it was about two shilling, it was a week or something like that then.
And out of that, did you make an allowance for home?
Well, you couldn't at that time. Couldn't send anything at home then. Till later on, you got something in your credit. Because each soldier had a credit, you see, with the quartermaster. And every 6 months, they used to tell you how much you were in credit, you know. Or if you weren't in credit, or if you broke a barrack room window, something like that, you know, they used to take it out to everybody, so much out for a barrack room window to be broken.
If a piece of your equipment was missing, what happened then?
If a piece of your equipment was missing, well, you reported it, and they asked you how you lost it and all that details. And if they were satisfied with it, you know, it was genuine, being stolen or something like that or somebody else, then you're issued another one. But say you're out on the rifle range and you left any part of equipment on the rifle range, your water bottle or something like that, and you went back and you couldn't find it again like that, well, that was put out as negligence. You had that to pay for.
What kind of beds did you have?
Well, we had an iron bed at with the six legs, and one section used to fold into another one. And we used to have three what were known as biscuits, like little square mattresses. And we used to put them down, one, two, three, in a row, and then we used to make our... We should get issued with two sheets and two blankets, and we should put them on. And they had to be made, all beds had to be made exactly the same. And when you finish with them and you're getting up on the morning, that'll be folded up, your three biscuits placed squarely on each other. Your blankets fold up to an absolute correct size to fit on with the edges of the biscuits. And your sheets laid on completely on top. And then you should get all your back room cleaning. Well, all the beds were pushed to one side. You should get these buffers out. They're called buffers. Because all the floors were highly polished. They were all waxed. And we should start at one end of the room. And the whole lot used to be swept first. About four or five of us used to go down sweeping it. Then the others would come on with a polish. And they'd rub all the polish into it. And then the other lads would come down with these buffers. And old strips of blankets. Old blankets wrapped on. And he used to polish it, well, you could see your face in it. And then all the beds were put back into place again. And all the curtains in the barrack room were opened out. And windows all opened. And then all officers used to come in and inspect about 9 o'clock in the morning. And you'd all stand at the side of your beds. God help you if you had anything out of order. Put a man on a charge. You used to get 7 days for not having your hat on right or something like that. And or a bit dust on the floor where your bed was, that man's area is dirty. 7 days. And when you did go to 7 days, you had to report to the guardhouse. And any duties are going, such as coal deliveries at the Ferrin Barracks. We used to the Murray Quarters, we used to get these big tubes. There used to be three of us with two tubes. And the handles, the man in the middle used to have all the two handles, a man at each side there, to tap the two tubes up and empty them into the officers' coal bins, double back for some more, you know. Or if you're unlucky, you got into the cookhouse, into the potato section, and peel all the battalion's potatoes there for the week. You're sitting there peeling potatoes there, I'll tell you what, the eyes are closed.
So what other furniture was in the barrack room?
Oh, you had your lockers. You had lockers at the side of your bed. You had them all stand there. We had a great coat in, and why all your personal gear in. And you had like a square locker above your bed, at the back of your bed. You should keep all your personal gear in there.
Was there a table in the room?
Oh yes, there's tables in each room, yeah.
What had you to do to keep that up to standard?
You had to keep everything up to standard, everything. Tables, everything. They were all scrubbed. The word polished tables were all scrubbed.
And this would be done as a whole or as a rota?
This is a rota. This is the whole lot doing every day. Just everyday life. And then we should go out on the drills.
Where were the ablutions and the toilets in relation to your barrack room?
On the end of each one.
What were they like? Were they good standard?
I mean, A Company had their own ablutions. We had ours. Oh, they were order on and everything like that. Yeah.
Were they tin or what kind of material were they made of?
No, they're all brick buildings. All brick buildings. The whole lot.
You'd have to keep those clean as well.
They were, yes, that was part of your duties if you got junkers, if you got 7 days punishment. Yes. Of course, but there was a man kept on all the time in that area. Maybe there's nearly always a lance corporal, he's in charge, like, and he used to have a couple of men. And he used to keep all the ablutions, you know, perfectly clear. He used to do the lot.
When you were out doing your various tasks during the day, did you have someone looking after the barrack room, an orderly person?
Oh, yes. There was an orderly left to look after it while we were on drill. There was one man. And I forget, what did you used to call him again? In fact, that was a name, yes. Audley man, Michael Audley for the day. Yeah.
Life in the room itself, obviously you were out during the day doing your various tasks. What kind of life went on in the barrack room when you were in there?
Well, we went in there, well, it was all pranks, like, you know, making beds up and that, you know, so the collapse and things like that, the usual army carry on, like, you know, and talk about different things.
Was there any bullying in the room?
Well, there was never any really bullying in where we were. No. I don't think anybody would start anything like that, because I think they would know, like, you know, they wouldn't get very far with it.